We scheduled the meeting to start at 8:30 and we are at least late with a few minutes. I would first request the House to pardon us in that regard. It is because of nature that we found ourselves, not all of us. But before we may start our meeting, may I first request that we open our meeting with a silence prayer, if possible. Thank you. Amen. As I was saying, the meeting, I believe that every member has an agenda on circulated with you, and I also believe that our guests, our petitioners and the stakeholders, they also have the agenda with them. Before perhaps I will start with our meeting, I will first perhaps request that we, of course, introduce each other. Maybe some of us, we don't know each other. Maybe some of us, we know each other. I think it will be proper that, of course, we first introduce each other. Then we may know who is here. I believe my name, I'm Moses Titus Mhlanga, representing Mpumalanga province in the NCOP, the current chairperson of the petition and executive undertaking. I request honorable members perhaps to also do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. My name is Dumisani Kwimbi, permanent delegate from the Western Cape. Thank you. Sorry, Chair. Matalani Divat Managed is my name, member of the NCOP from Limpopo.
Good morning, Bronwyn Engelbrecht, representing Gauteng.
Dumelang, ke Galereko Manopole, leloko la komiti go Kapa Bokone.
Thank you. With me here, I'm having my support staff and the parliamentary unit. I think they don't have to introduce themselves. We all know them. You can just, I think we all know them. And the PMG, PMG is also with us here. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to confirm whether it's, of course, you are welcome, the Office of the Public Protector, in this continuation of this hearing. We appreciate that you also allowed to give us that time to have you again in the second continuation of this hearing. And I will also perhaps welcome you, Mr. Hampton, as the actual petitioner. So, therefore, in that note, honorable members, I believe perhaps we can, I'll give you time, I believe perhaps we can therefore go to direct to our agenda. Can I have a mover of the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Manapule, move that we adopt the agenda. The seconder, Honorable Kwimbi. Thank you. The agenda is therefore in that note adopted as is stipulated. The item, I think before, because it's not stipulated whether item number one, but of course I would like first to go through to apologies. Do we have any apologies, Secretary?
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Yes, we do have two apologies from honourable members. That would be Honourable Mohapi and Honourable Chetsi. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Engelbrecht.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Honourable Michalakis is also apologised. They're all at the by-elections. Thank you.
Honourable Mr. Hamilton. Witness Susan Campbell got stuck on the metro train, which broke down. The last I knew, she was trying to find a taxi so that she could get here.
Do we hope you will arrive while we are still engaged?
I don't know, members. Can we therefore approve or give permission to these apologies? Silence means contempt. Honourable Monakis?
I support that we accept the apologies, but that in future, members who are not making it to our meeting should communicate with our committee secretaries, no? So that they know in advance as to whether we're going to correct or not, and if not, if we're not going to correct, they are able to call off the meeting well in advance, no? Not when we're here. Sure.
I think it's in order. Therefore, the apologies are granted permission. In that note, let me therefore, of course, try perhaps to zoom in to the actual petition item, which is the continuation of Love Nizer petition. I think we are all aware that each and every public member has a right to petition Parliament in terms of Section 17. And as Parliament committees, we have also a duty and a responsibility to give and respond to the petition and provide the relief that the petition inquires to on Parliament. By the virtue that when he comes to Parliament, it is precisely that he exhausted all the relevant avenue at the lower level. Our rules of Parliament also give us a mandate to swoop in or call anyone to bring in submission to the committees. Your Rule 103 of the NCOP, including Section 69 of the Constitution. Therefore, as this committee, we are empowered to therefore interact with whatever, whoever, whichever department that it is, of course, seen as implicated in whatever petition that is being raised. And we believe that in terms of your intergovernmental relations, as Parliament, we as this committee, we are not an investigation body. But of course, we are here to offer assistance to those community members who feel that their matters are not being entertained by relevant stakeholder institutions of government or other private sectors. And therefore, our role will be to make sure that the particular departments or institutions that are implicated, therefore, cooperate and work together with us to at least come to a resolution wherein we have a relief sort that is perhaps requested by the particular petitioner. So in that note, we really appreciate for the public protector to be here, because of course it is a very sensitive office to really interact with our public there, who are of course daily frustrated. And they really have a hope that the office will really entertain their matter, because it is empowered. It has all the resources to do that. We have, of course, through our deliberation previous, you remember the councillor came in and presented its case in this regard. The province also came in, presented its case in this regard. There were issues in terms of your tourism board. There were issues in terms of your special integrated development framework, whether plan or framework. Now, the province did highlight that this is the issues that they can perhaps respond to them, and these are the issues that will be responded by the municipality. And of course, a commission or a task team was set up, of course, to therefore investigate the grievances, both the institutions that are affected, including the public protector, and response will then therefore feed into our secretary as requested. that the response should be fit in. And although while we were still busy considering and making sure that the report will be tabled to Parliament, to the NCOP, and an agent, new evidence occurred during the process of this petition. Now, as a committee, of course, we cannot deny the petitioner to therefore say I'm also challenged in regard to this petition that I forwarded to you. He even raised issues wherein he is being intimidated as a petitioner by the virtue that he approached Parliament. Now, meaning his right is being infringed. I don't know the Human Rights Commissioner where is it, but I think we'll deliberate more as this committee. How do we then go further, zoom into the problem? But nevertheless, let me not be much on the issue. I was just trying to bring us into the picture of the petition. Now, today, this is the continuation. It's the continuation of this hearing. And we said we must therefore afford Mr. Hemkin to therefore again, perhaps with the new evidence that he has, oral submission to the committee so that we may again have an informed recommendation that are aimed to have a resolution on the matter. Before perhaps I will give to members, I see that your hands was up, Honorable Engelbrecht. We are in item number one. Therefore, I was just giving the brief background in the matter. I will request that members should assist in terms of this item number one, the approach. But my thought is that the approach was that we were going to offer the petitioner a chance to at least give us the newly developed or newly evidence that he has in this regard, that we are not privy as this committee. Therefore, after that, perhaps offer the public protector also to, I know that the secretary did send you some of this newly evidence that the petitioner has. Perhaps you might have a say. Perhaps you might have a say in that regard. I know that perhaps you also need more time and best time to do your own thorough investigation on the matter. We will then resolve on that. Then for that, perhaps the members and then they can interrogate. I don't know, members. Honorable Engelbrecht, thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I have a very, very serious problem. First of all, the municipality of Knysna received a letter on the 12th informing them of today's petition, which is exactly 12 days ago. In other words, we, as a House of Parliament, expect the municipality to drop everything at short notice within 12 days. I do not think that that is fair. One should give a municipality at least a month notice, and any petitioner, a month's notice before we have a petition. So they received the notice of the petition 12 days ago. Subsequently, they wrote several emails, of which I have them all in my possession, to this committee, requesting the date to be moved. Not once did anybody from this committee have the decency to reply to them, to acknowledge the emails, or even say to them, well, we apologize, we cannot move it, we do have to have it today. They even sent SMSs, which I also have in my possession. I find this totally unacceptable. And then when you ask for apologies, the secretary is fully aware that the municipality put through the apology, and it was not noted as part of the minutes. So I have a serious, serious challenge with the way we are running this committee. We cannot, at short notice, expect the municipality in budget period to drop everything to be here, and then that we do not have the decency to at least reply to their emails and either inform them that we will not be able to move the petition, or then just acknowledge and say we are prepared to move the petition. This is something, Mr. Chair, which we have to address very, very seriously.
The matter that is raised by Engelbrecht, it's an internal matter of the committee and we'll have to deal with it, but therefore, because he raised it while dealing with the current petition, I see you, Honorable Manapula, raising the hands. We will respond on this, the issue. Honorable Engelbrecht, yes. Honorable Manampule.
Maybe perhaps I should wait for the clarity, if there's a,
well, okay,
there's a clarity from the table, because I would like to make an input.
Okay, madam.
Or react on what Honorable Engelbrecht has raised.
Okay.
If there's any clarity that is the table needs to clarify before I make an input, I'll wait for that.
Thank you, Honorable Manapule. I would think they must clarify. It's a very important matter. I've sent the emails myself, and I've also spoken to the secretary to further actually communicate with the municipality and interact with them in the regard of the agents and the importance of this meeting. And I think he will give us more details what that therefore unfold after that. Secretary. No, secretary, can you please give the information, give the committee a confidence of your correspondence with the municipality in the disregard of this petition? Because as Anonymous is saying, our notice was late and we didn't respond to the municipality.
Thanks, Chair. I did respond to the municipality, and I do have correspondence. If it's needed, I can give it to Honorable Engelberg. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. I don't know, because I did see all the memos or the emails. Didn't you supply or distribute it to members? You did. You did. In your emails and in your... Yeah, emails and the pigeonhole, they were this correspondent, these letters, emails that were sent to the municipality, and the response thereof from the parliament. We should go through them. Of course, we did respond properly, and we did indicate that the importance and the agents of this petition. Thank you. Honorable Manapule.
Roger, thank you very much. I would like to make an appeal to Honorable Engelberg. Maybe I should make give a background to what I want to raise. And it's important for us to always remember our constitutional requirement of us and the work that we're doing. When we summon anyone to come and appear to our committee, let me just verify the section that I must not quote the wrong section. I think it's section 69 of the Constitution. Where it says that the committee, the parliament, can summon anyone to come and appear and give evidence or documents to any committee in parliament, which is very important. Hence, we always give that. And also, taking that into consideration, we are aware that as a committee, we have a backlog of petitions. So if we have an opportunity that we can present, be able to deal with the petition at hand with us. It can be that one institution of government does not comply to the summon of the committee. That seeks to undermine the committee itself, the work that we would like to achieve here. Firstly, that when the petitioner comes to us is when they have, like we have highlighted earlier on, try to venture in the avenues in the local level before elevated to the national. Now again, we are still frustrating them based on the arms of government. One piece of government is not, and this is, to me, is a pattern that is we are encountering as this committee, not only in this committee, as the cluster of the committees that I'm serving in. It's not for the first time that one municipality, the problem that we encounter most is Western Cape. There was a petition that we encountered, if you can remember, one mayor, assist me with the name of the municipality, when we had a mayor to summon her to appear in this committee, first, she issued a press conference, if statement instead of coming appearing to us, I think it's a George municipality. And secondly, there are other municipalities or other spheres of government of Western Cape not appearing to this committee. So, like you said, Che, this is our internal matter. I'm raising this to the committee members to be able to ensure that whatever they state, in not to play in the gallery, because of here we have the petitioners present and other stakeholders are present. They are playing in the gallery. But I think it is fit for me to raise it, not to leave unattended or not responded to, because it will leave an impression that this committee that is doing is just doing the work because to put pressure unnecessary on the province, on other spheres of government. So I'm appealing to you, can you close this matter and also entertain it and make appeal to other members of the committee. If there are other internal matters that they need to be ironed out, let's rather request the stakeholders to move out and we have in camera so that we can iron out our administrative issues, not to play in the gallery. So this is important work that you are doing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Manapule. I think we were trying to respond to the Honourable Member, although I know that it might not be satisfactory, Honourable Engelbrecht, but we're trying to at least have a common ground, the field wherein we can all have a common approach so that we resolve this particular matter. I'll come to you, Mr. President. I just want to have order in with my members so that when we come to you, at least we are clear. Honourable Engelbrecht, I think you give us the way forward, and then you will be you'll follow Honourable Krimi. Then we will go directly to the matter on hand. Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Thank you. I appreciate it. As long as my concerns are noted. Thank you,
Honourable. Honourable Krimi.
Thank you, Chair. I think. Chairperson, really, the municipality need to put your foot down for this municipality, because in our minutes we were invited to the municipality. He never come and appear to this committee. He never also not to submit anything to this committee. This is the second time now that the municipality didn't come to this. The third time now. So I don't think it's something that we need to take it easy. We need to be serious about this. I concur with my colleague. Otherwise, we make other means. If there is any other means that the Constitution allows you to do, you must do it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Krimi. I think we will, after the hearing of the new evidence and perhaps offering the OPP an opportunity to also give us some clarity on the matter and whatever that they have on the matter, we will therefore after them deep in detail on this issue, particularly on the municipality, and including our recommendation on what we do on the problem. I think that will be the way we should approach this. Welcome, whip of the committee, Honourable Mtetwa. Welcome, Honourable Stock. The meeting, you are welcome. And though we have introduced ourselves, but I've already introduced yourself. Thank you. We therefore will go directly to the matter on the table. Offer Mr. Hampton an opportunity. I know, Mr. Hampton, that we as a committee, we did, of course, go through all the previous evidence that you gave us, and some tries were made to come to a solution, although we haven't concluded on it. I will, of course, request that since members, they do have your new evidence, which was circulated through their emails, they did go through it. You can take us briefly, but try to be summarily into important aspects on the current evidence, so that we are able to therefore cover time and space. You saw your document; it's very thick and it has serious potential information and evidence. Honourable members, we should look at it. I will also encourage the public protector to look at. I know most of other issues they fall to other stakeholders that we need your, you need your, what you call a public administration commission that must also come in. You need your auditor general that must also come in. I know, but yes, since you are here, let's try to capture what we can capture on what he has, and ultimately together with you, because as this committee, we can't just come up with a recommendation that is uninformed, should be informed through the corporations solving the problem. Thank you. Honourable Mr. Hamson, can you please therefore take us?
Thank you very much, Chair. I would just like some clarity with regards to the time frames for today so that we know how to fit into them. They were separate times on the, different times on the invitation versus the internet. So until what time is this committee running to, and how do we allocate that time to the stakeholders here?
Your question is important and controversial. In a sense that this committee is a bigger committee. It comprises of three clusters. We should, again, after this or your meeting, we must also go to another cluster. But we are going to offer you ample time that will at least give the committee the picture and also the public protector. We are having from now up to 11:30. Thank you. Oh, 11 o'clock, yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will probably take up about 45 minutes then, which should give ample time to everybody else and for questioning. I did send an update to my petition. Basically, what I'm going to say now will be a summary of that update. I do need to mention in bullet points a couple of things from last time because they will then interact with the new evidence. I've also tried to ensure that the committee knows the pressure that I'm under. So I even put in pictures and quotes, and I tried to make sure that nobody could actually misunderstand the threat I've been under and the total disregard that the NISA municipality and the Democratic Alliance in particular, but all the councillors of all parties actually in the NISA Council have had for our town. I don't believe, I just need to comment with regards now to the municipality not being here. I don't believe that should be in camera. It affects my petition, and we cannot ignore the history from last time, whereby twice they didn't turn up, they issued a press release, were forced to issue an apology. Also, my update, they were given at the same time as the committee. I've always practiced transparency. Although it's a little bit more complicated for the public protector, I did give them the same information. So the municipality has been sitting with this for months. They could easily have responded in paper. Also, there's 21 councillors, there's 6 directors. How can one not possibly turn up? And the special council meeting that is for the budget is next week, Friday. So once again, there was plenty of time. This is just part of what I face on a daily basis. So at the beginning of the update, I put a quote there, and I think it sets the tone. This was a threat from DA Councillor Dr. Martin Young when he was still a candidate. You seem not to realise that you're in no position to negotiate. I'm surprised you even tried. We hold all the cards and have all the power to make your life really and truly miserable. Jail is more than likely your next NISNA destination. All right? This is part of my life. What makes us worse, and I put the blame directly on the doorstep of Premier Helen Ziller, is that I gave her this information when this councillor was still a candidate. I gave her information on other criminality face-to-face in a meeting, and thereafter I sent her very detailed emails, and she did not act and instead allowed the two councillors in question to be elected. This is no longer about the NISA municipality. This is about the whole Western Cape. Forgive me when I pause slightly, but it'll be for the benefit of the committee. I'm going to occasionally jump from what I prepared so as to save a little bit more time. The NISA municipality and the DS deception is emphasized by the people involved in questionable situations, with the previous municipal manager, Grant Easton, pursuing investigation. failing to pursue investigation, and instead the very people who were complicit with him, the same people who attended the last committee meeting with him, launched an investigation against him. There was a disciplinary process.
Sorry. Honorable Mteto, refer to the page when you speak. We know that you tried to summarize yourself, the whole document, but can you assist the members just to refer to the page so that they can zoom in on what you are saying? Thank you. Sorry for that.
I apologize. That would actually be quite difficult because last night I took out 10 pages, worried that something would go wrong today and that we might need to save time. All right.
Okay. I think
as some type of reference, the Love Neisner update, I think, the one that has a picture and a quote at the beginning, you could look at that generally, and then I could call out the header, and you would find some of it within there. So last month, I say in the Municipal Manager, Grant Easton, the same person who attended here in March 2016, and said that there was nothing wrong. He quit during his disciplinary hearing, which was at a cost of, between the salary and the investigation, 2 million rand to the public, and no criminal charges were pursued against him. I'm going to get into more detail in the petition with regard to that. All right, the header, next header would be the summary of the initial submission to the committee, although I have drastically reduced that. It began with Neisner Tourism, the corruption and maladministration thereof. I said that the tourism only existed because of a service level agreement with the Neisner municipality, which was giving it 4 to 6 million rand a year. It was its primary funding. It was a grant and aid that never went through the grant and aid committee. The money was used inappropriately and nobody was ever held accountable. That is where my problem with the public protector began. At that stage, please slow me down if need be, I am trying to rush, but was protector was Bruce Vessels. He was the investigator in the George department. His reasoning for not investigating was based on a lie from the municipality, all right, but the problem was that he knew it to be a lie. And that held for me a question mark over the public protector from 3.5 years ago. We've already discussed that. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm going to continue on to the ISDF tender, which was the Integrated Strategic Development Framework, the 30-year plan for our town. So, I mean, that's very important. People have IDPs of 5 years. So when we're looking at a town for 30 years, you've got to realize how much power the people have who are going to be planning it, and that they need to be the most responsible and accountable people possible. Instead, it was given to the people with the most reason for conflict, a property developer heading a consortium, and they never even won the tender. All right. After eventual investigation, which was only forced because myself and Sir Son Campbell, who's the other activist, will be here later, we hope, put pressure on the municipality. She did some wonderful work. We operate separately. We both were complaining about the same thing and then conferred our notes. I have kept it in the limelight as loudly as I can for the last couple of years, and I am both pleased and disappointed to say that we've held it up for that amount of time. There was eventual investigation by MEC Bridell, and he responded, well, at least his department, but he responded with 10 to 13 points regarding the investigation, each one damning, and in total contradiction. He said there was no reason why I couldn't go ahead. Now, you can't admit the wrong person was given the tender, and then it can continue. Something was very wrong. And that was amplified when his department, and the report was done by Graham Paulser, never handed over the full report, and that full report also supposed to have been handed in before then-Mayor Geraldine Vollmerans appointed Municipal Manager Grant Easton, who at that stage was the CFO, and he shouldn't have been the CFO at that stage because he didn't have an accounting degree. There's always compromise with regards to positions in the NASA municipality, and it is my fear that compromised people are beholden to the factions that hire them, and I believe that if my evidence is looked at in detail, it verifies that. So the full report was gained through Sir Sun Campbell, through the Public Protector's Office. It clearly doesn't sufficiently address the conflicts of interest, but as said, it is still very damning. What is remarkable, and I say that in the worst possible sense, is that this still hasn't, the conflict hasn't appeared before the NASA Council. The same way that this committee and my allegations have never appeared before the NASA Council. They practice a policy of what doesn't exist, doesn't need to be addressed, and no one can be found guilty. And that is because all of them are actually guilty. I say that because I have made myself dedicated to ensuring that every single councillor knows what's going on so that all of them are liable. There are no parties in NASA. I mean, that's a ridiculous notion. There's been no opposition for 6.5 years. All right. People make deals, it works on friendships and factions, and that's all it is. Nobody has stepped in from province even to identify the party's mandates. It comes down to who has the power rules, and everybody else follows, hoping to get a piece of the pie or at least stay in power. The illegal municipal manager, this Grant Easton. He was only municipal manager for 16 months before he was suspended. He was suspended not because of my complaints, which had been ongoing for a very long time. They refused to deal with any of my complaints. The Speaker will not deal with it. The Mayor will not deal with it. If I can't deal with the Speaker, and by law I'm supposed to go to the Mayor, and the Mayor won't deal with it, and I'm supposed to go to the Speaker, well, then you have to go to province, you have to go to the police. Everybody blocks. But this time, it was Susan Campbell's complaints, and they went ahead with it. I believe that it was a moment of convenience. I believe the evidence was overwhelming. That always has been. But it was a moment of convenience because of the faction war at that moment between the DA, and it was used for the new faction to come in the last election. The charges against them included the ISDF tender, which obviously reflects on this committee. It also included the installation of a local premium of 11% to 25%, which basically meant that a local company could get a tender they shouldn't have gotten, and they could also get around BEE. All right. In 1 year alone, this was an 8 million rand loss to our town, and that was after the previous financial year wherein the Auditor General had warned the municipality and the municipal manager. So we need to understand the gravity of that. The private contractor receiving the most work from the electrical department, as said before, was the husband of the department's manager. Rather than investigate and prosecute, Easton allowed it to continue for quite a period after, until she left very quietly and got a job next door in the George municipality, which is also run by the DA, and obviously they would have been aware of the problems because it would have had to have been declared when she got her job. There were also irregularities involving a Nissan Juke tender, from the winner not being granted to the tender documents going missing, and apparently the tender documents were lost with that same manager, Manon McDonald. Nobody was ever held accountable. The cost to the public for the Senza Canucci's restaurant, which is on the East Head, the famous East Head of Neisner. Last time I was here, I said that the loss to us was 4 million rand in rental and services. Well, that now stands at 7 million rand once you add in all the legal fees. They are finally out as of last month. How is the situation ever allowed to arise whereby a restaurant can put the public into debt for 7 million? Nobody has been held accountable. It was also notable, I don't have it in here, but there was over 1 million rand owed on electricity, and somebody in the department during the December holidays got them around it by giving them prepaid electricity, which allowed them to continue for a couple more months. Nobody has been held accountable for that too. When last I was here, the NASA Vehicle Testing Center, which had been closed and investigated, and I complained about how the tender happened, I'm not going to go into that, but the amount at that stage to the public was 1.5 million rand. The final amount was 3 million rand, and there were zero prosecutions. So the disciplinary charges the municipal manager faced were an utter contradiction to the lies he told his committee, lies that they were supported by the mayor, by the deputy mayor, by the legal advisor, and by the communications manager who sat here in silence representing them. It must also be noted that then Mayor Geraldine Vollmerans lost all her supporters in the election. The DA tried to do a clean out. She lost all her supporters, but apparently was rescued from Cape Town by Patricia de Lille, and she is now currently the Speaker. And I mention that because she would then obviously still be liable to the committee, one person who has that continuity of liability. So I'm saying, how could the municipal manager be charged and everybody else involved wasn't charged? All right, this was a disciplinary hearing of convenience, and the best option they could ever have had was for him to quit. And when he quit, it was with a deal whereby they paid him another 2 months of salary, which would have come to about $250,000, all right, and an old bonus. The part that frustrates me the most and probably brought here more than any other is the header of unconstitutional blocking of communication. I wrote here that I have spoken to 60 people and that they have failed to answer, but I've really spoken to hundreds. But I have given sufficient evidence to show those 60, and that it's ranged from people from the council to Helen Ziller to the Hawks. Rather than address my complaints previously, then-Speaker Eleanor Spies published a letter against me, a 900-word letter, in the newspaper. I repeat that because once she became mayor, she published another press release against me to say that they couldn't deal with me because I was so unreasonable. That was an outright lie because I had a meeting with her and numerous municipal officials whereby they were trying to quiet me with regards to the fact that she had forced a position for her friend, who was her election manager, who was unqualified, qualified as a gym teacher, to be the head of communications for NASA municipality, this after she ran an election campaign promising better communication. I recorded that meeting, all right, with their permission. It clearly shows that they were running around, that they were lying, and that they promised information and assistance. But instead, they issued a press release against me, and at the same time, with that press release where it was shared, a propaganda campaign was run against me, whereby I was associated by people with child abuse, even a missing 9-year-old child, Lima Belimi, and numerous other things, that I was a sociopath, that I was destroying the town's economy, and that I was working for a third force. You have to realize who the people were that were involved, and that there's no way that the DA can ever say that this wasn't us, right? Because one of the anonymous sites, then anonymous, was set up in conjunction between two people, one of which was the same Dr. Martin Young, who I reported to Helen Ziller, who was then a councillor. It was initially called Protecting Brian Nasner, and it was dedicated to discrediting me, with no evidence, simply to write the biggest load of propaganda ever. And he was working with another man called Mark Allen, a man who used to work in the sex industry and escaped it and came down to Nisner. I had a protection order against him. The DA was aware I had a protection order against him, yet they worked with me. He is proudly a propagandist. I have amazing quotes from him because he just likes to cause trouble. And the DA thought he would be handy for them, but has turned into their biggest liability. He has now left the country. I can't hold him responsible. The police refused to arrest him, and he is currently in Thailand, still occasionally causing trouble. That page's name on Facebook was then changed to be called Wicked Nisner. They were doing a play on my name from the old days when I was a DJ, where I was called Wicked Mike. There's another Facebook page called Nisner News that was also run anonymously until I proved that it was run by the then deputy mayor and her wife, the advocates, who was involved in at least 6 court cases against me. When I say that there's conspiracy, people look at me as if I shouldn't say that, because we live in a world where conspiracy theorists are made to look like fools. But I truly do believe that there is a conspiracy, that the same people are involved on a regular basis, and that my evidence does show that. I am going to give a couple of examples of the things I wrote about me just now. But before I get there, so I don't lose my place, the district corruption hotline is managed by KPMG, because that's supposed to ensure that there is fairness and everybody gets treated equally. I previously told the committee that they failed to follow up on my complaints about corruption, which led me to believe that it was a convenient corruption hotline, possibly to find the enemies of the DA, or possibly just incompetent all round. Whilst I've been waiting for the committee, I tested them again. I reported 3 illegal appointments and the propaganda campaign against me. I did follow-ups. They did nothing. I reported the corruption hotline, wanting a supervisor. They said they'd come back to me. They did nothing. So they have done nothing in the last 8 months. That goes hand in hand that previously I had also on the DA's website, their corruption page, also reported, and they did nothing. I can't expect Eden District to help. BitU's mayor, Memory Boyson, the great mayor who was under threat, who the SAPS could find no threat against, but it was good marketing. He was involved in a sexting scandal. I think I'm the only person who ever published the whole sexting scandal. I'm sure some of you will be aware of it. He, instead of being investigated, was promoted to the Eden District Mayor, which, and Neisner now falls under the Eden District. I do not expect any help from the Eden District, especially since the DA even offered him an MP position. Accountability and the law seems to only apply when the DA is talking about other people. Now, Helen Ziller, she failed to respond to many of my emails. And I related how at a meeting in Neisner, she only ever turns up in Neisner just before the elections to say something about the country, but nothing about us, and how she tried to discredit me, and she threatened to shame me in public by saying she had a folder on me, and she waved the folder and threatened to read from it, and I encouraged her to read from it so long as she answered my questions. At that stage, Minister Alan Windey, or should we say MEC Alan Windey, stepped in to rescue her. We had a meeting the next day. The meeting was recorded. Alan Windey did nothing. The constituent member who was with him then became the deputy mayor. He did nothing. And Alan Windey refused to hand over the recording of the meeting because it would have held him liable. But I have emails that can show, prove my version of events. Helen Ziller came back. When she came back, I wanted to make sure that I was heard. So I handed out flyers at the meeting. It included different topics. Amongst it was the propaganda. It included the crimes of Dr. Martin Young. And it also included information about the forensic report into Rowan Spies, who was then a candidate for the Eden District. Rowan Spies was the husband of Speaker Eleanor Spies. They got divorced only in name. They still live together. They've still done absolutely everything. They campaigned together. I won't go into the reasoning why they did that, but the fact is they are still a team. She became the mayor. The ANC, ex-ANC mayor became the DA mayor, and he, a man with no experience, who had only a very checkered past, and a damning forensic report into him showing that he had committed graft in BitU, and he and money had been paid into the joint accounts of him and his wife. After the incredible vetting system, as claimed in the papers and by the DA, he became a councillor. He's a well-known alcoholic, and he has recently been in rehab, and they are trying to cover that up as well. And I wouldn't mention it unless it was for the fact that last week a warrant of arrest was put out on him because he had failed to turn up in court after he had allegedly called somebody in public a rapist whilst he was drunk. Eden District is not coming back to me. All I'm trying to emphasize is that they are not going to help me with regard to my problems in Neisner. I'd said that the DA tried to discredit me through the newspaper. Both mayors had tried to do that. The brother of the advocate tried to do that. The advocate tried to do that. It's been an ongoing process. I'm not allowed fair comment. The newspaper works with the municipality or with a faction of the municipality. When they had an editor who tried to do the right thing, she was only there for 8 months, a woman called Ingrid Erlunk. She found incredible opposition. She was put under pressure. And the municipality pulled the advertising. As soon as she was gone, the advertising was back. Just before she quit, finally there was going to be a story involving NASA tourism, except it wasn't going to be my story, although I had tested her almost every day for those 8 months. But it never appeared. On that day, the newspaper was held back for about 5 hours. The front page was pulled. I forget what it was replaced with. And when I spoke to her, and this is why she needs to testify, and I hope I'm not putting her at risk, but what do we do if people aren't being questioned? I have approached the public protector about her, but she said that her whistleblower for that story had received a death threat from somebody within NASA tourism, and that she believed it was credible, so she pulled the story. The new editor clearly favors the municipality. They haven't mentioned that this is happening today. They were also well informed. They haven't mentioned any of my allegations. I ensure that I keep the newspaper informed so that when I eventually go to court with them, I have tons of evidence. But for the purposes of this committee, all right, it needs to be looked at that relationship, or eventually who you refer this to, the relationship between the media and the municipality, as well as contractors. I believe that some of the contractors of the NASA municipality, copywriters, were also involved in the propaganda campaign against me. And you know, after the mayor put out that next false press release about me, and they ran that campaign for 2 days against me, I eventually managed to get down her post. Facebook took it down. Very hard to get Facebook to take down a post, but they took it down because there was just so much happening. And it had spread through other websites. By taking it down, they removed so much because once the initial source goes down, everybody had shared and run comments also vanishes. The municipality's response was to put it back up again. I was also banned by the municipality's Twitter. I was banned by their Facebook. These decisions, I believe, made by Frank Kirsten, the same woman, was illegally appointed. I've given solid evidence to show that she should never have been appointed. It was a 3-month contract, and she is now on her third contract. This has never gone before council. The worst part for me personally is the amount of times I'm taken to court. It is very difficult to me. The DA and this committee last time seemed to be trying to make an angle to say that there was credibility to the municipality because I had been found guilty in some cases. No lawyer will represent me. The only time I had a lawyer who would represent me, he came to me with a bribe. I cannot prove that, but he came to me with a bribe. 20,000 Rand a month for me, 100,000 Rand for him, which will be done through business with the NASA municipality. So they obviously considered him more of a threat, because he was quite well known at that stage for being involved in political cases in the Western Cape. I turned it down, my relationship with him fell apart, and I landed up in high court alone with no evidence and was found guilty and got an interdict against me after the advocates involved in the case had told me the case was over and I published one blog. So I still need to discover why was I lied to that the case was over by my own legal team. And because that resulted in me getting a 3-month suspended sentence for writing about that case. I have also, what they do is they take me through the Protection from Harassment Act, which is supposed to be the most accessible law. Generally, it comes out of the Domestic Abuse Act. Wife gets beaten by alcoholic husband, which is quite often the case in the Protection from Harassment case. Two people go into court, there might be one witness, he said, she said, witness said, and a decision is made. It is supposed to be an easy, accessible law, all right, for very good reason. I believe that the DA has been abusing that as a way to gag me, because if any order is put against me, such as I cannot write about a municipal official or I cannot write about a politician, I am effectively gagged very cheaply by them instead of having to get an interim interdict through the High Court. What happens in the Magistrates Court is very worrying. This committee has most of the court cases. That is an enormous amount of documents for anybody to go through. I'm not going to go into that now, but if investigation is referred, obviously we can go through it line by line. I will prove that I am being discriminated against by magistrates in the court. For example, in one case, the magistrate dismissed my 75-page affidavit and about 200 pages of evidence because he said the format was incorrect. A magistrate cannot do that, all right? Especially in a protection from harassment case, especially because by law they have to guide you if you're representing yourself. He then said because there was no affidavit, there was no evidence, all right, which was very convenient, and because of that, I was then found guilty on the balance of probability. So there is a slam dunk case whereby the CEO of tourism, who was involved in so many things that I've detailed to this committee, got me gagged. The advocate involved in all the cases against me, who failed to tell the court that she was actually a DA candidate, also at one stage representing one of the people involved in the campaign, the propaganda campaign against me, whilst she had her own propaganda page against me, got a protection order against me. And as it goes with all the cases, the magistrates refused to talk about my evidence. And my evidence is detailed. They refuse to tie the political connection. They speak in very general terms. I can appeal all of this. I've been granted right to appeal, but it is very difficult for me because how do I get to High Court? I am getting better at this, though. I'm trying to make it as difficult for the magistrates now as possible because I'm going to hold them liable. I got a protection order against the advocate. When I reported the advocate to the Cape Bar decided to ignore the fact that I've got a protection order against her, and it's a shocking email that I received back from the Cape Bar, the chair of the Cape Bar, who decided not to refer to a disciplinary committee. This is after giving evidence of all the propaganda the advocate and her wife, the politician, were involved in against me. Also the contraventions of the protection order, which the police will not act upon. Sorry, for a moment I had hoped Ms. Campbell had finally made it here. And instead sent back a letter that could only be read as if she was acting as counsel for the person I was complaining about. I believe the Cape Bar is compromised. I believe every institution actually so far that I've come across in the Western Cape is compromised. And I want the opportunity to prove that. I'm not speaking in general terms. I'm summarizing for this committee. I'm currently in court again. I'm going to speak in general terms because I'm under an interim order and I know that there is privilege in Parliament, but I want to tread lightly. There was a situation in Cape Town 2 years ago where a member of the fire services, a leader in the fire services, you'll probably recall it from the media, allegedly tied a rope around a black cadet's neck. This was a white man, and made him roll around like a dog and crawl like a dog. He quit during his disciplinary hearing, got hired in Knysna as one of our leaders. He was hired by his previous boss in Cape Town, who had also left Cape Town under scandal and got a job in Knysna. So the complaints I had from within the department, because normally I get somebody who's a whistleblower and then I do the legwork and present something to the public and make a complaint to the council, was that he had got hired through cronyism and that they both had a dark background. I then discovered, and it is all alleged, but I have very strong evidence to show that they do indeed have a debatable background that they have never, ever cleared up. And how can we be in a situation where people who are under disciplinary processes are allowed to quit before any verdict is received and then gain a job still within the government and that background not be part of the application to the near employer. Where it's valid now, and it worries me, is I'm currently have, I literally only looked at this last night. Yesterday I was filing papers for recusal of a magistrate and for reasons of bias. But during recess, the fire chief came to me and tried to intimidate me. There should have been police there because they're supposed to have somebody to keep them away. And I take that kind of threat very seriously, especially when it involves the fire department and I'm living in a wooden cottage. Why in all these cases, I mean, if we look at the bigger picture, has the municipality not responded to me, not responded with investigation, not brought to council? Yet, I'm continually taken to court by these people. There's an obvious disconnect. Sometimes we need to stop looking at the nitty-gritties and just say, well, what is the grand plan here? And the grand plan is to stop me from speaking and to destroy my life. I'm totally cut off from business. That councillor, Dr. Martin Young, went door to door. He was proud of it. He went door to door to businesses to tell them not to deal with me and to ask for donations so that they can get a kitty together to put me in jail. He is proud of it. I have given evidence in this regard. I've jumped enough and skipped enough so that I've lost my own place. Point back on the public protector. The public protector hasn't investigated Bruce Vessels. The last time I sat with the George office, with Welcome, just to tell Ms. Campbell that we actually began a bit late, but I think you're well aware of a lot that I have written.
I believe this is parliamentary meeting and that therefore that we, of course, will go through that. Carry on with your presentation. Welcome, Mr. Campbell. We will talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. This is time. We must consider time.
Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Kimby.
Yeah, Chairperson, you covered me because I was trying, was going to say at least because they are also public protector.
Oh,
yes, yes, you covered me, Chair. Thank you. You must,
yeah,
must wind up.
Yeah, thank you, Honourable Kimby. I think you are with us, eh? You do, of course, we have acknowledged earlier before we started that we have limited time. We'll try to round up and that we are able also to give your colleagues some space. You remember we also have public protector here. And as a committee, we still have to dwell in zoom into matter and have a recommendation before we depart. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. All right. I will jump some things with regards to the public protector. The question that needs to be asked to the public protector is why did Bruce Vessels not investigate, especially when it was based upon a lie? That's with regards to Nice Tourism. And why did he do nothing with regards me and the ISDF tender? This would have saved us years. Why has the current office of the public protector, as represented today by Western Cape manager Sunay Grissel, and George senior investigator Gideon Lundman, not given priority to this, especially since this whole process started 3.5 years ago? It's not just a matter of waiting for the municipality to respond. It's been 3.5 years. They are not at the stage where they are confirming the facts. They are still sitting with a lot of information, which hasn't seemed to be prioritized. I was told that they would prioritize me this past month, yet I haven't been asked a single question. The only time I get a response from the public protector is if I force it, all right, deliberately being rude, but also so that I build evidence in case I need to hold them accountable. The only time that the Western Cape office has responded to me was when Sunay here mistakenly sent me an email that was actually intended for Gideon Lundman. And Mr. Lundman only gave me the second meeting after he refused that meeting, saying there was no time, after I recorded a conversation up with him, which I believe makes him look in bad light and confirms the fact that they are dodging with regards to investigating one of their own who has since been promoted to the Eastern Cape. Instead of me going through the charges against the municipal manager, I think it would be good for us to get feedback. Has local government entered this committee yet? I wanted to just find out if I can skip some things, and then they could answer, and possibly Ms. Campbell could give some input.
I think the question that you are now questioning the committee, we thought that you do your entire presentation, then we will be able to therefore tell you what actually has unfolded since we last came and do your oral presentation. I don't know, are you interested to give the response now? Okay, we would prefer that you conclude with your presentation, then we'll be able to answer what you in the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add on Grant Eastern, I've already mentioned a couple of things whereby they're related to the previous submission and had continued into the latest. Part of the charges against him included him entering into two unlawful loan agreements with Absa Bank for amounts that totaled 19 million rand. This is the man they've allowed to quietly retire. He also was charged with misleading the council in respect of the disciplinary proceedings against budget manager Vita Sankar, and hers is a very interesting situation because she arguably saved our town 40 million rand by getting the council to go through the budget line by line at night, which her bosses apparently did not approve of, and it was shortly after there she encountered many problems within the department, and she has been suspended on pay for over a year, which has cost us approximately 870,000 rand. And if the municipality wants to say anything with regards to themselves not being here today, they should have mentioned that Sankar's disciplinary hearing is happening right now, if I'm correct. He also failed to ensure the implementation of the commitments and recommendations from the Auditor General. He was accused of having an inappropriate personal relationship with an employee in his department. He was also accused by Ms. Campbell here of showing racism and not being prepared to work with Indians. The connection there being that the budget manager, Vita Sankar, is Indian. And if there are any feedback and further questions there, I'm going to leave that later for Ms. Campbell to respond to.
Thanks, Hampton. I will get use of the name.
Chair, can I just finish with one comment? I am skipping about 20 pages, so just one comment. To understand how far back this went, 4 years ago, a well-known constituency member sent me this in an email. You are so obviously being targeted. I have asked people about you in general. When I push for a reason why not one person has been able to answer, a huge smear campaign, which I'm sure you're well aware of. I have it on good authority that the DA are actively trying to get you out by whatever means possible. Again, I'm sure no big news to you. I just can't believe the scale of it. What I am surprised about is the amount of fear involved. People are petrified to stand up. I have watched cases where residents' lives have been made unbearably difficult and impossible because they had a run-in with the then municipal manager, Lauren Waring. What's notable about that is that it was written by the wife of the current deputy mayor 4 years ago, and that nothing has been done in that time.
No, Thank you, Hampton. But I think the members have clearly, they were carefully listening on what you presented to the committee, and they will therefore get time when time comes to therefore perhaps give you seek some clarity seeking question on what you presented, or of course, or gain, perhaps give us perhaps some way forward on some issues that you raise in regard to the remedy part of thereof. I think for now, honourable members, we are now it's almost 6 minutes to ten, and we should be concluding our meeting. Madam Campbell, would you please? I'm very sorry, honourable members, but I think we were told that she will be coming later. And would you please, because in actually, with our understanding, we are just now, as a committee of parliament, accountable to our people. You are here with us now. In actual fact, the committee was informed that the presenter will be only Mr. Hampton. Now, since you are here, I really plead to my committee that the madam is here. Let us also afford her. Although she hasn't forwarded much new evidence as you did, okay? But let us offer her and hear what she has for us before we'll go directly to the public protest and then we'll deliberate. Is that permissible, Whip? Thank you. Madam, the ball is on your court.
I just wish to apologize for being late. I think Mr. Hampton explained that I was in a train that had broken down, so but I do apologize. Thank you. Chair, I would really appreciate it if you would stop me if I'm being repetitive, because I don't actually know what Mr. Hampton presented. What I think I might do is I might just look at some of the issues that we touched on last time, because what happened the first time we gave evidence is the municipality wasn't here. They then came on a different occasion, and they made a few false statements to this committee with respect. We were not there to rebut that. And there's just a few issues I would like to touch on. One is the ISDF tender. This one is far from being resolved. We know in this situation where they have spent more than the tender amount of 2.7 million to the consultants who were appointed. They have not finished the work. No product has been delivered, because with the greatest of respect, other than that the consultants should not have been awarded the tender in terms of the preferential procurement regulations, they also did not have the competency to do the work. So we are now in a situation where now the municipality is now budgeting to do a lot of the work that should have already been finalised. That's just something I would like to point out to this committee. This is now, I'm referring now to the summary, the document dated the 16th of May, that was prepared by this body on the select committee meeting, and I'm looking specifically at paragraph 2.1, the alleged illegal awarding of the ISDF tender. Now, one of the interesting things here is that one of the findings from Provincial Treasury was that the municipality did not have a bid specification committee. The municipality denied this to Treasury. This is, in fact, included in this report. Now, interestingly enough, last year, the municipal manager at the time, Mr. Easton, and Friedrich Kruger, the supply chain manager, had to explain to the Nysna municipality why she had appointed a consultant to help her with her work. The municipality felt that she should be able to do her work, and one of the reasons she advanced is that the municipality did not have a bid specification committee up until then. So her reason for justifying the appointment of a consultant was a direct contradiction of a response given by the Nysna municipality to the provincial treasury. And with respect, the correct position is that they did not have a bid specification committee. I can point out many other matters where the municipality has not been truthful, but this is just as an illustration. It seems as though the municipality does not seem to take the oversight body seriously and would adjust the truth to whatever suits their case at the time. I might just indicate that I don't know whether this committee is aware of it. Mr. Easton has since been, he was charged disciplinary, That was at my instance. I was the complainant. Now, I think it's important that this body knows that from 2013, when this tender was awarded, I used to speak to the councillors. I used to write to them. I would write to province. I complained about the ISDF tender. This tender highlighted a tender process when I, the municipality, used to ignore, would award tenders not based on the preferential procurement regulations. They would actually trump triple BEE. A company would win a tender in terms of the regulations. Then they'll go and look for a local company, even if it was owned by a white man with no people, and they would award the tender to them. I spoke to them about this. They did nothing about it. I eventually had to go to the Auditor General. The Auditor General didn't pick this up either, but when I mentioned it to them, they highlighted it. The Auditor General included this in the comments to the annual statement. The municipality continued with this illegal procedure. It's only in May 2015 that they stopped. The only reason I can honestly tell this committee why the municipality took my complaint seriously was it was just before the election. Before that, every single complaint I had ever given them, they had simply ignored. Very often I did not even get an acknowledgement of a seat. These were always serious matters, but I was ignored. But because it was before the election, I said to them, if I did not take it seriously, I would actually go to the press and I would go to the Equality Court because there was racism involved in one of the charges. And that is the only instance where they have ever taken action. And as it turned out, the MM resigned after I gave evidence for a day and a half and had been cross-examined because he realized that this was only going one way. Now, I don't know whether you have been addressed on the Mr. Arduinus's illegal appointment. This is the director. Have you been addressed on that?
Chair, yes, it is in my evidence, okay, but there's several things that happened, and I haven't presented it at all today, and I've left that for Ms. Campbell.
Sorry, Mr. Campbell. Honourable members, in our documents that they gave, there are these charges that were flagged against the director, the municipal manager, who is the municipal manager currently. I think for time, should we afford her to just present on it, although we have seen some of these cases? You want?
So, yes, please, Chair. Just a correction. This is not about Municipal Manager Grant Easton. This is Director Community Services Darby Arduinus, who is also, no surprise, one of the witnesses in a current court case against me with the lawyer supplied by the municipality.
Madam, I don't think we should touch issues that are at court currently. I don't think it will be proper for this committee because he's currently in court. Sorry, I don't know maybe I understand.
Sorry for not explaining myself better. All right. He's a witness in a case. This is not about that case. So what is here is separate. This is about him being an illegal director, having also been illegally appointed to the BAC.
It's fine. I thought he's in court with the very same charges that he was. Okay, therefore, in that note, let's offer him to just take us briefly, although you have it in your documents. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, in July 2013, David Arduinus was appointed as Director of Community Services by the Gneisenau Municipality. The background is that the director's position was advertised as a five-year contract, and which is the norm in Gneisenau, and he had to have the relevant qualifications. Now, obviously, the Municipal Systems Act and the regulations to the MFMA set out the requirements for directors. Mr. Arduinus was given a permanent position, although the contract was advertised as a five-year contract. He did not have the necessary qualifications. He needed to have an NQF-8, which is an honours degree in terms of the MFMA regulations of minimum competencies. In terms of he actually had an NFQ-5. Which, if I'm not correct, mistaken, is a matric. So it was way off the mark. So firstly, we had somebody given a permanent position when the advertisement was for 5 years. Organs of state are bound by the terms of the advertisement. Secondly, he did not qualify, so his employment was completely and utterly illegal in terms of the MFMA regulations. The municipality sent the information about the appointment to the MEC for local government, Minister Bradell's office. In terms of the Municipal Systems Act, Minister Bradell is supposed to take action within 14 days if he sees that a person has been illegally appointed. And that action should be to either take the municipality, if the municipality doesn't sort it out, to either take them to court or to get a declaratory order. Since July 2013, the MEC's office has done nothing. The councillors in Knysna have been aware of this illegal appointment for a very long time. The guilty parties, the ones who were responsible directly, was the previous mayor, Julian Volmerans. She was on the selection committee and she signed the contract of employment. Lauren Waring, the municipal manager, chaired the selection committee. She's no longer there. I wrote to Minister Bradell's office in April this year because it became obvious to me that the municipality was going to do nothing about this. So I wrote to him and I said I informed him of the illegal appointment, although I knew that he knew about it before, but just to set the record straight, and advised him that he had 14 days to do something about it. But my response has been that they're talking to the municipality. This was early April, the 14 days are way past. The legislature views this in a very serious light. Minister Bradell's office has a duty to deal with the matter and to go to court if it's not dealt with otherwise within 14 days. That is how seriously the legislature views it, because we cannot have illegal people acting or in director's position. To give you an idea, now the municipality, after knowing that Mr. Adonis's appointment is legal, they got him to chair the BAC last year. He's not allowed to be involved in any financial transactions. And he acted as municipal manager and signed off on the annual financial statements. This is somebody, if I could just take the liberty of just reading to this committee exactly what the regulations state about an employee who does not have a qualification. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Campbell. Campbell, I think if honourable members, they will just go through the presentation, the document that we were forwarded by Mr. Hemtin on page 27, bullet 6.2. It's where they actually talk about the director of community services. And all issues thereof that she's referring to. I think we got the circulars and we did go through them. We just wanted to offer you the privy that you at least you take us into confidence on what you gave us. I think because of time now, I would rather say let's offer this opportunity to the public protector to at least also have to at least let them also take us into confidence into this regard. Then after that, perhaps members will then deliberate, then we will, of course, together have a true hold in regard to the light at the end of the tunnel in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know where to begin. A lot of these things that are said here, I want to just categorically address, because I do not see my role and function or advocate Landman's here today to stand in our personal capacities or to become involved in a one-on-one argument. Whatever we are here for today is to maybe, and it will be a good opportunity to explain to Mr. Hampton and other members of the public how the role and function of the what the role and function of the public protector is, and also how to approach us, because in terms of the constitution we are supposed to be accessible. But I am tempted to say at the beginning, without the necessary, I do have empathy with Mr. Hampton, but I find it difficult to reply to certain things. So let's get to his first allegation. And I think if I identify the issue that he has with the public protector, I have never met you in person. I have indeed sent an email when I was in management meeting to Advocate Landman, which also came to the ears of Mr. Hampton, and he's welcome to address that and to present it, because we work transparently and consistently and fairly also in our investigation. So no query that I lodged to Advocate Landman could not have, there was no reason for me not to send it to Mr. Hampton, because that was what I needed to know. My capacity is I'm based in Cape Town. Advocate Lampan is the regional manager in George, Eden, where Eden Municipality is. As such, the public protector is accessible in terms of the constitution. We should be approached. We are not supposed, and this is what has been worrying me here. We have people approaching us by email, by telephone calls, by letters, by our Facebook blog. Then we have the PR of the PP assimilating the complaints and disseminating it to the provinces. I represent the public protector for the Western Cape province, so I would have received all those complaints disseminated to me. But what I did find is that when I started in April 2015 in the Western Cape, I haven't heard a word from Mr. Hampton, and at that time Mr. Vessels was still in George. The first time I became aware of Mr. Hampton's complaints and sincere, him being sincerely upset about the public protector in the Western Cape is when I was approached by a PR that the newspapers wanted an update on the progress of his complaints. And I sincerely, at that stage, it was about in September last year, I replied, we haven't received a complaint, but I'll search the records because I can find one matter that was finalized in 2014. I then took the time following that September inquiry to go through the records in George with Advocate Landman, and we found indeed that his predecessor there had the case concerning the tourism, not the ISDF tender, the tourism issue. And I found it was closed, finalized. We also then realized with time, when we were accused and attacked in emails out of the blue, and that was the email I raised with Gideon or Advocate Landman, I said the more we respond, the more we are attacked. It worries me that we now are actually seemingly to be now attacked on Facebook and everywhere. Maybe we must invite and have a meeting with Mr. Hampton to hear what his complaint is. The short and the long of the story is, we got the complaint in 2014, it was finalized. It was finalized for reasons that is set out in a closing report. It was set out also there, and I contacted George, who is not promoted to Eastern Cape, but he was transferred and is now in Mthatha. He denied that he ever said that he was under pressure under the time of Thuli Manonsela and Ruth van Varensburg, my predecessor, and I do not have any reason to doubt it. I also would put the invitation, and we we always do. If you are not satisfied with the outcome of an investigation, you are so welcome to approach the Western Cape Provincial Head to apply for a reopening of a case or to even apply via me so that I can ensure that you are provided with a review or an appeal form. So that is the only matter investigated by the public protector up to that date. In September, I got the press inquiry. I started doing research. I couldn't find one complaint, not in Cape Town or otherwise. I got an inquiry from your committee, the petitions committee. I was informed by Dr. Gondwe. I referred that to my head office. We did then. By that time, we only got accusations, if I'm right, that we were not investigating. So we also had to respond to the head office. So then we also offered, please, Mr. Hampton, you're welcome at the George office. He then went and he had a full interview with Advocate Landman. And at that point, we decided to get all the information we can, to deliver it to you, to check that we don't overlap and duplicate the work that this honorable committee does, because you are the higher echelon unless you feel otherwise. So I don't know whether you want to hear me in more detail than that. This is where we stand. We don't want to duplicate or overlap with you. We are awaiting instructions, but we didn't block or anything.
No, thanks, Madam. You pardon me because I didn't take the names.
Okay.
You pardon me, Madam. Yes, but... Advocate Crystal, okay, sorry.
Yes, I'm the Western Cape Provincial Representative for the PD.
Advocate, I think we are all your ears, and the whip was also, of course, already saying, no, yes. We have your response in this regard.
Yes.
Although, I'm just sparking it up, we are concerned as Parliament, seeing that the Tourism Board itself is funded by our coffers.
Yes.
Some of our coffers of government, they go to the this tourism board. Now, as public protector, we know very well that wherever we put our hands with government, you have an authority to then get in and check whether we do things correctly. That was our concern. That why is the public protector not having those? Why it's responding that it's out of its jurisdiction, while this institution, this traveling board or this tourism board, we also fund these municipalities with our coffers. You see, and I believe that money is out of our revenue as government. So we needed to take care in terms of oversight whether is the money working correctly. Although we know that it's been donated to that institution, but we need to make sure. I mean, in terms of accountability, the accountability there, or in terms of that, thereof, we need to make sure that the money that we give to any NGO or any entity that it aims to support or cooperate our work as government in terms of complementary, we need to also monitor it whether it works, it does save the purpose that we aim to save. So really, really, that is the question I wanted to pose from to the public professor himself. That how can the public professor say to us he can't go further and investigate this institution? But yeah, before
can
perhaps,
I
no, no, I'll give you time. I'll give you time. Before perhaps I recall the day, I think all I remember, there is the long or shorted story in regard to the petition. We heard the petitioner himself in terms of his grievances. And I know this honourable members, they do read. They are aware of whatever that you gave us. And I believe it can be time for them now to start do speaking question and contribute where they can contribute. And yes, members, we are acknowledging that the municipality itself never came to do oral presentations. But in terms of the correspondence that we have, they did reply to our
our request or request, no, a kind of invitation. They did reply to our request for them to table us with reports in this regard. And I believe members, they do have this report. In that note, they should interrogate this report and say, what is really, what is there for the petitioner? Is it really the true reflection what the petitioner gave us, or is it the true reflection what is the municipality giving us, including the treasurer in the province? Because they all responded. The treasurer responded to us in this regard. The municipality also responded, although they really apologized and requested that they can't come to this hearing because of their schedules. But they sent us a report. The mayor. The Western Cape local government, yes. And the mayor said, therefore, he can't come and do the oral presentation because of their schedule. They will be going for budgeting business, and we all know how budget works. It can't stop and a political office behavior of any institution called by parliament for only 2 hours to come and present, and he will come there, therefore, and say to us he can't come and present because he must do budgeting business. I don't know, but it's with you, members. Madam, can you, because we're trying to cover space, or you have something that is that you want to tell us now immediately, because I want to give it to the members, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. Just two issues. I read after the last meeting when the municipality was here that this committee with respect seemed to be under a misapprehension that the public protector was investigating the ISDS tender. There was actually mention made that they should possibly wait for that outcome. The public protector has never investigated the ISDS tender. I just approached the public protector to get the report from provincial treasury because basically the municipality and province were not providing it, and they did complete that work. They're not investigating. And then another issue, with greatest of respect to the municipality, they have been indicating that these proceedings have been cancelled, and that's not why they're here. And in fact, there's apparently been some comments on social media from one of the councillors sort of mocking Mr. Hampton, I heard this morning. We could find that. So according to the municipality, this today's meeting has been cancelled. So I think one just needs to look into that. Thank you.
Honourable members, we will be doing deliberation. I think we must do deliberation on our time week on this matter. But there are these issues that they must always take note. That grievances or issues raised by the petitioner, they overlap to other institutions. You talk of the maladministration. The AG has also, we have something from the AG in our document. We must also look at it. What is the AG saying in that regard? Of course, perhaps the Public Administration Commission was not engaged in this regard because they also have a duty to check whether the public institution performing correctly in terms of their mandate. But yes, we also had the treasurer report that was also speaking about this. I think members will go through in detail on these issues and check when we deliberate how can we best have a mechanical solution on this one. But I do believe that some of the issues, they really need forensic auditing, forensic investigation, and so on. My members will lead us in that regard. I will therefore allow members to therefore entertain question from what they have presented, and if you have something also to add, contribute in the meeting to that. Thank you. Honorable Monakedi. Honorable Whip.
Perhaps I should come back later, because I wanted to say something that somewhat you covered towards your concluding remarks now. Basically, to say that indeed we need to be very careful that we do not duplicate the work that is being done by other institutions. But also that there are issues that sound like personal private, you know, listening to the presentation, but we should also be careful not to get involved in such matters. Because when we are here, I think we need to deal with the allegations of maladministration and corruption or whatever, no? At the level of institutions of government, obviously at various levels. Other things I don't think is our challenge to really enter. As to who has been taken to court, who is alleged to be a child abuser, that we need to be focused. And also avoid being dragged into sort of party political issues. Because that is what I sense as well, what the decision has been made here, no? Party so and so, party so and so. I don't think we are here for that, no? We are concerned about issues of delivery of governance, no? By state or government institutions, not party political issues, no? We are not interested in those things. But the last point that I wanted to say really is that at this stage, I thought what we should be getting into is to ask questions for clarity. I thought we ourselves, who are going to have our own liberation, not at this level, to cut and be able to shut the way forward as to how do we then proceed. Thank you.
Yeah, order, Honorable Monokedi. What we are doing now is just starting to ask questions and perhaps if you think we can contribute something, but for us to deliberate, we'll have our own in-house session where we need to deliberate, and of course, we will then interact with whoever that we need to interact out of our findings as a committee. Honorable Whip, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation that was made by Mr. Kemble.
Hampton.
And Mrs.
Mr. Kemble.
And Mrs.
Kemble.
Kemble. I welcome your presentation, sir. I welcome your presentation. You know, definitely we will deliberate more when we are in committee. But let me thank you for the braveness that you have, the courage that you have. You know, when I listened to your presentation here, I found that there's a lot of maladministration from the side of the municipality. But I got a question that I want to ask from you. It's just a clarity. Why they hate you so much? Why they hate you so much? Is because of your exposing things, or is because of other reasons? Why I'm asking that question is because of the email that you read, that you received around 2014, 2013. 2016. I'm referring to the last email. The last email that you read, the closing of 2014, in your closing remarks. Also, you talk about 2.7 million that was spent to consult. To the consultants who are not qualified to do the job. I think South Africa needs people like you who are the watchdog of any administration that is governing in this country, and our constitution allows that. What you are doing is a very good job to expose whatever. You also talk about some person that was taken from Nile now to Cape Town and it's in the... It's a fireman. He was taken from Nile to Cape Town to Nile. And another one taken from Nile to...
Came from Cape Town to Nile.
Oh. Both were friends. One was instrumental in hiring the other.
I think we need to deliberate more when you are not here. But I want to encourage you. Let's go and do more. Because we always hear in this parliament told by the glorious government of the DA. And what you did come up, it amazed me. I never thought that in the place that is governed by DA, we can get such an information. Thank you very much for encouragement. We will work with you to make sure that the perpetrators are getting to vote.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Tetwa. Honorable members. Silence, you know, sometimes they say, okay, I noted you are not the public protector. Sometimes they say, you know, silence, sometimes it may happen that we are lost, sometimes it may happen that we are fine. Everything is in order. But yeah, before I come to you, sir, because you are part of myself, let's give them our external customers. Is that fine with you? Yes. I think I will give you last bite. Because we have already considered the actual we're about to conclude the way the members have spoken. I'll just give you a last bite, you come, then the public protector, then we will be concluding.
Thank you, Chair. Just two comments, one with regards to the public protector and my relationship with them. Make it three comments with regards to the difference between personal and politics versus maladministration and corruption, as presented by the member behind me. And also with regards to the relief that I'm requesting from this committee. I think that should be a very big part of your deliberation. My relationship with the public protector isn't out of the blue. Then Bruce Vessels was given detailed information that he did not act on. It is impossible for him to have dismissed that case, and I'm saying it was unlawful how it was done. I cannot prove that he was put under pressure by his bosses in Cape Town, but that is what he has told me. What I can prove is that I contacted Pretoria with regards to my complaints, so my complaints have been there, and Bruce Vessels also received information from me on the ISDF separately to Campbell. We don't work together. Sometimes we land up investigating the same thing, and we get to compare notes here, but generally we do our own thing. So he was given the information on the ISDF. So it is the public protector's fault that it has sat there for so many years. I have made complaints against Bruce Vessels. All right? I have given that information to Gideon Luttman, showing him emails to Pretoria from the past. It cannot be claimed that it isn't there. I have said to Mr. Luttman that more than anybody else, I want the public protector to be the institution that I look up to. And I am concerned because I do believe I'm getting run around the bush, and I've been in this game long enough to understand when I am. What they haven't told me is, well, where are they at this stage? What is the plan going forward? They don't get to stop an investigation because there might be a deliberation here. Part of my complaint is that so many organizations, such as the Public Protector, have yet to fulfill their duty. So I've been pursuing things for 6.5 years, and not one person has been made accountable. How is that possible? We have to sometimes look at the bigger picture. So, whereas I was, Sinead Grissel said that I was welcomed to the office of the George for an extensive meeting, and we did have a long meeting. That meeting, I was denied that meeting. I have it on record, and only because the conversation went pear-shaped in my favor in my recording was I given that meeting. I welcome honesty from the public protector and from local governments, who are tired to try to get the information that's submitted to this committee, and they still haven't given me the information. So why would they want to hide what is going to be brought to this committee? We haven't gone into detail on all these things today. I mean, I prepared a speech at 3 o'clock this morning, and I went off the record so as to save time. Look at my documents, and if anything is handed over for investigation, those people need to do further inquiries and then question me. Everything is not before you. There's irregular expenditure. There's so much more. This is pervasive corruption. With regards to political and personal, you cannot call the intimidation of me personal. It might be personal to me, right? But that is government abusing its power. And it is only happening, in response to your earlier question, because I have been exposing them. And I said, well, I'm going to fight them until I can't. So I've written more than 1 million words. it absolutely frustrates them. My most avid readers is our government I'm complaining about. All right? If I write something, pretty much anybody who's interested in our government knows about it, not just because I wrote it, because it's word of mouth. So I've become the de facto person, all right, and I represent, strangely, as an activist, more about politics than our own municipality does. There are reasons they hate me, and it's because they are corrupt, and because they have committed crimes, and they're worried that one day they're going to lose their jobs. And in light of Gordon April from Oudtshoorn going to jail for 7 years last month for intimidation, all right, they've done so much more to me. So now legal precedents are set. I do have to worry because these people could be going to jail. What will people do when they are put into that corner? So the last thing I want to say is the relief I'm asking for. I cannot approach any of the councillors. Every single councillor has failed. I have given documents on corruption whereby it's been signed. How are 21 documents signed for by the committee and nobody does anything? The council is broken. If no councillor can be trusted to stand up to corruption, if not one has presented these issues for so many years to council, this council and the previous council, right? How can they be allowed to stand? So I want forensic investigation, but I want it done via, as part of, administration. The politicians need to be put aside, because at the moment you cannot separate the politicians from the administration, which is against law, as you well know. But our kind of town works according to friendship and cronyism. It doesn't work according to the law. I want a forensic audit into all the complaints that I have made to province, especially Premier Helen Zille and Mamusi Mamani. I'm in a different stage now. They might have used to ignore some things that I wrote. Now my emails get read the same day every single time. That changed when all my emails I received read receipts in one day for months, where obviously somebody had done a search in Mamusi Mamani's email and extracted all the emails at the same time. They are aware. They are hiding this as an image problem for them. The Auditor General must be asked why, contrary to serious findings, why, contrary to the previous municipal manager even ignoring their suggestions, has NASA municipality continually received a clean audit? It doesn't make any sense. For me, this is just politics. All right? You get to use it as a marketing campaign. It isn't practical, and by denying the severity of what has been discovered, you're also denying solution. I need an authority figure in the SAPS to investigate why the NASA SAPS has failed to follow through on cases involving me, why they haven't enacted warrants of arrest where people have broken protection orders, and to discover why the Hawks failed to investigate my cases involving NASA tourism and the ISDF, because I haven't been given a reason why. This is outstanding for a very long period of time. What is notable is that I called a meeting with the station commander of the NASA police to express that they must not hand over my case to the George office of the SAPS and the Hawks, because I said it will be squashed. To make it further clear, in my affidavit I stated that at the beginning, because the SAPS do not like me. Even one of the captains of our local police has gone on social media to say I must pack my bags. All right? As I've exposed stuff now about politicians, so I've exposed things about crime. They are not happy with me because I also make them look bad, and some of those involve murder and police corruption. I need somebody from outside our province to actually say we are going to look at these matters and what has actually happened with these complaints. We also need an audit of the Eden District Corruption Hotline. Let's check out the efficiency and the impartiality of that line. All right. How can a complaint be ignored? All right. Is it only me? Is it other people? No matter which way it goes, something has to change, and somebody has to be held responsible. I really do extend a hand to the Office of the Public Protector. They need to stop playing games, they just need to be transparent, and they need to sit down and have a proper meeting with me whereby they actually commit to action that I can see, not where I'm always sitting in limbo. If there is investigation, it would be nice if another organization is involved, that it's actually a team, if somebody like Selga came in as well. I also believe that this committee needs to look at itself. There's been a 15-month delay. I'm not coming here as a beggar. I'm also coming to you asking you to do your duty. The delay should never have happened. They were based on lies. So now we've gone through 15 months later and millions more has been lost. And I'm asking for this committee to please be the very first one to set that example. So, all I want is some justice for our town, and I would like to know that I can go back to some semblance of a life. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, by giving us your sort of relief, then members will be knowing what sort you relief you want. I'll come to you, honorable member. Let me, because I noted here, you come in here.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree with the honourable member that we must not be under misapprehension that DA municipalities have clean governance. In fact, Knysna is a microcosm of this country. What happens in Knysna happens in many places, and the only difference that I see between a clean audit and a not clean audit is that municipalities like Knysna that get a clean audit, I don't know if they're all the same, are functionally corrupt. The ones that don't get clean audits are dysfunctionally corrupt. Because we cannot bluff ourselves. A clean audit does not mean clean governance. What has happened in Knysna, and this I think is a lesson for the whole country, is a complete breakdown of all the checks and balances in our democracy. Firstly, the opposition, the ANC. The chair of the ANC was the chair of NPAC. NPAC is supposed to investigate and act as a watchdog over maladministration. The chair of impact, Councillor De Vries, he's no longer the chair of impact. His studies were illegally paid for, honours and masters, by the administration. They paid for his accommodation when he was in Cape Town studying. We are talking about considerable amounts of money. It is completely and utterly illegal for a council to pay for a councillor's bursary or give him a study loan. So, Councillor De Vries, in my personal experience, was never interested when I gave him information about corruption. I thought he would be delighted being from the ANC. He was not interested. So there was number one. There was not a functional opposition in Knysna. So the DA and the ANC in Knysna have to take some blame. Then we have a further problem, is the local newspaper. The local newspaper's advertisements were pulled when they started becoming critical of the municipality. So the press, which is also an important part of a democracy, was silent. And that opened up the space for Mr. Hampton. Now, Mr. Hampton and I don't work together. I don't always agree with some of the way he goes about things, but he fulfills a vital function because the local press has been silenced by the municipality. The councillors did not fulfill their role of checking on the administration. The councillors and the administration share the same legal advisor. If the administration had done something illegal, the legal advisor reports the municipal manager would come and explain to the councillors that everything was about a fault. So it is a complete and utter breakdown. And the only thing in Knysna that was still functioning was civil society. But the amount of work that it takes, and you simply get ignored by everybody, because if they know they control the press and the opposition, they do as they please. So I really think there's a lesson for the whole country out of Knysna.
Thank you. We are, of course, about to conclude our session. We were just supporting them. I noted you, honorable. You can come.
Yeah, no, I wanted Mr. Hampton to please just repeat those points under the relief sort, without explaining.
Well, you want him to number points, the points of the relief sort.
Yeah, he doesn't have to explain. Just
thank you. Mr. Hampton, can you just ask the House with the relief sort that you are proposing to the committee?
With pleasure, Chair.
Yeah, you can.
Sorry, just finding my place. Sorry, I often go off script. I asked that because of that very breakdown in
the political leadership of NASA, whereby there is no party to turn to, that the only step forward should be administration, at the very least forensic investigation.
Yeah, he is writing. Right.
Just slow me down if I need be.
Okay.
That there be a forensic audit of my complaints, particularly my complaints to Premier Helen Zille. That the Auditor General be asked to clarify the continuous awarding of clean audits. That an authority figure of the SAPS investigates the NISA SAPS and George Hawke's failure with regard to my cases. An audit of the KPMG-run Eden District Corruption Hotline, and to check the efficiency and impartiality of the other hotlines I have contacted. With regard to the public protector, that the public protector be contacted and be made aware of my current 13 complaints with the George office and what happened 3.5 years ago, with the view of is enough being done and would they consider applying more resources. That if there is any investigation in the greater context, that other organizations such as Selga be involved so that there's check and balance. Oh, I left one out earlier. Even Legal Aid One helped me. I request that a national manager in Legal Aid contact me regards my cases and find out what's happening in Eden District. And that this committee sets an example and investigates why there was a 15-month delay based on lies that I refuted before the meeting that granted the delay. Sorry, I think everything else will then come from that.
Okay, thank you. I think you was bumble, Honorable Monikit. Therefore, Honorable Members, there we come to the conclusion of the petition. I think I will just have to say this, and whoever that is responsible in Parliament must just take note. We can't have petitioners that are petitioning us in Parliament in terms of their rights and be intimidated thereof. Because whatever we do here in Parliament is public. Now, we can't allow that anarchy in our state. Because just last week, or when we approved the proclamation, the disclosure proclamation bill, that whistleblowers are protected by the Act in South Africa. Therefore, we can't have that scenario in any of our institutions. Secondly, the issue of courts. We expect, in terms of the Constitution, we say everyone is equal before the law. And in terms of that, we really believe that everyone will be treated equal. Everyone will be protected by the very same law. Now, we can't have magistrates that have been used by political parties to infringe some individual's rights. We can't allow that. Initial fact, it is the very same court that must protect the petitioner. So, I really weep in our, I don't know, but I believe something must be done. We will, as Parliament Committee, because we acknowledge that you are now being frustrated, you are now being harassed because you petition us in regard to issues that are
implicating the province and the municipalities. As Parliament, we need to come in and see how is our petitioner here, both of them being protected. I think when we deliberate, that must be highlighted. We must flag it and resolve on it and recommend on it. As of today, I think Honorable Krimi, because we are dealing with security and so on, in regard to police and so on, we'll see what to do, because you will take and flag this grievance in your committee, because this committee has police also, it has justice in it. So you are privileged enough to be flagging these issues to us. We'll be able to then take what is necessary to particular committees and see how best can we assist. But as from today, we really appreciate for you your attendance to this meeting, and we will again apologize, humbly apologize to you for the 15 months so that is being wasted. We will, of course, by the end of the third term of Parliament, we will, of course, have already submitted the final report in the NCOP. You will be privy to that. In that note, we'll therefore request that we adjourn the meeting for now. The committee will then deliberate in future in this regard internally. You will, if there will be some seeking clarity issues, will then you'll interact with the secretary going forward until we submit the report in the House on our second term, which will be our third term, which will be next month. Yeah? Thank you. I will therefore attend the meeting in that note. Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you. You'll pardon me. We'll talk, man. You are my sister partner, man. I hear so you wanted to say something. It will be unfair. I just rushed to close this meeting because of he wanted to say something, because we offered them to say something, but we never offered them again to say. Okay. Please, Honourable Member, pardon me, I just made a mistake. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your apology accepted. I just want to elaborate, in short, just one sentence on what my colleague said with reference to our internal review procedures. The closing report that was circulated on the Naizna tourism does not mean to say that that is the end of the road. If new information is being provided to us and we have a request from the complainant in the matter that he or she is not satisfied with the outcome of the investigation based on certain facts, then the matter is again being taken on a review in order to ensure that there is a proper investigation on the matter. And that request, he needs to be submitted to the provincial representative for the review of the particular matter. And then all the information is being assessed again. We go through, and if we see that more information is required, then we will request that information.
No, thanks. I think Mr. Hampton, the court is yours to play on it. At the end of the day, by next month, when we resume our third program, we should be able to conclude your matter. Of course, we'll be interacting with the relevant stakeholders. Yeah, I'm about to close the meeting. I know we want to talk, sir, I know, but can we reserve ourselves and we'll send that to our secretary? I have an open line. He must give you my line. I have an open line. We are not closed. That is, no one can speak with us, but our secretary will be there to interact with you in the regard of whatever necessary information that you require, or whatever that you wanted to tell us. Thank you.